Blog Talk Radio.
During the pandemic, my lifestyle drastically changed. My income came to a screeching halt. You have to understand, I'm a hustler. I'm a legit entrepreneur. I sell things. I come in contact with people all the time. I have to stay safe. I didn't have a choice but to trust the vaccine. And if you live the type of lifestyle that I live, you out here in these streets and you hustling, an entrepreneur like me, why not do it safely? So I want everybody to take this seriously. Take a shot at staying healthy. Get the vaccine.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news, and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State, and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hello to all you something duckers out there. The CEO of Lysnica demanded I shoot a holiday video. We need to promote everyone get their Lysnica boosters every week. All you nimwits and rubes just keep taking it. But Mr. G, Globalist wants me to be nicer to you since this will be your last holiday season on Earth. By the way, we now have the suicide pods available for rental. Before you enjoy your last breath in a suicide pod, we need you scallywags to get tested for COVID. You must be completely up to date on your vaccine passport. Absolutely no exceptions. When you step into the suicide pod, we do not want you to catch COVID. You must also wear at least 5 scams on your face, with a minimum of 2 of your scams being an N95. After you take your final breath on Earth, we will give you another COVID test. Both before and after your trip to the suicide pod, you will be required to go through the TSI naked body scan. We need to make sure you're not hiding any ivermectin, Federal Reserve notes, or carbon inside your person. For all we know, you could be a something ducker that likes to hide Nuremberg code inside your junk. We need to keep you comfortable and safe. Also, please remember, when your person turns to ashes and dust, please do make sure you are still keeping with local social distancing guidelines. you must still keep your rashes 6 feet away from the previous customer. If you refuse to get in the suicide pod, we will take you to the local FEMA camp. That is all, and have a holiday season.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show. Right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. I am your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we'll have Amanda joining us here in just a second. And if you have anything you want to share here on the show, the number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So with that, let's go ahead and bring Amanda in here.
Hello.
Hey, Amanda.
So, hey, have you been getting any rain there?
No, not yet.
It has been raining for, probably at least 2 days here, and finally cleared up just in time for the show tonight. And the moon is magnificent. I don't know if you've seen it tonight. I'm not sure which planet is closest. I'm assuming it's Venus. It's very bright, but the moon is just amazing.
Okay, well, I'll go look in a minute.
Very nice. Yeah, I was about to look it up to see which of the planets is closest to it right now, because you can just see it shining brightly.
You're not a flat Earth person, are you?
I'm not.
Okay.
I am not. You know, I tried to understand it. It first came to my attention. I mean, besides it being something that was believed centuries ago, and then it was first brought to my attention probably 2014 as something that a lot of people were really looking into and taking seriously. So I looked into it just like anything. I'm like, well, maybe there's something to it. And I tried to understand it, and had people who, you know, who believe it and have the talking points really well understood, try to explain it to me, and it still just never has made sense to me. So, anyway.
So, I know there are the people that get mad when they tell you that the Earth is spinning at well over 1,100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. And
right.
And they're mad because, well, how come I don't feel it?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to go... I'm trying to word this here right, but it doesn't have to go 1,100 miles an hour to reach its destination. So is the 1,100 miles an hour the amount of time it takes for it to run around the sun one time?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I mean, it's really hard to prove it. I get it. It's hard to prove. These are, of course, calculations that mathematicians and physicists have been doing to come up with this understanding. But, you know, I don't feel Earth spinning. I don't feel us moving through space. But at the same time, it's hard to explain things that you see visually without a bit of an understanding that perhaps we are on a spherical shape. To me, it makes sense to feel as though in nature you see spherical shapes naturally. Like, that's a natural shape for anything that is water-based. And I'm a person who believes that the way that things happen naturally, it just becomes more of a spherical shape rather than just a flat disk. So to me, trying to understand that it's a flat thing, disk shape, and then a dome over it, it never made sense. Like, well, what's underneath it? where are we in? Because a lot of flat earthers believe that space is fake as well. So where does that put us? If we're not in space, then where are we? And how do the planets figure in? And how come when I looked through a telescope, I did this with a neighbor once, and saw Saturn so detailed in a spherical shape that, and I saw movement, so I can't explain that. So I might not be able to understand, feel the movement or understand all of that, but, it does tend to make more sense to me. And according to this, Mars is what's closest to the moon right now.
I just never understood the flat Earth, and I'm not planning on doing so now. I just don't think that we're just like a Monopoly board going around the sun.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I've tried to understand, so the moon and the sun and where they would be in this disc dome model and how that affects the seasons and how there's, for example, the centrifugal force, when you flush the toilet in the northern hemisphere, it goes, I think it's counterclockwise, and in the southern hemisphere, it goes clockwise. So, and people in the southern hemisphere see a different sky pattern than those in the northern. So it never really made sense when someone in the flat Earth model would explain it. It was almost like you had to bend physics for it to work. So not that I'm any kind of mathematician or physicist myself, but just that, like you said, a Monopoly board spinning around, it just, anyway, I know it's a touchy and sensitive subject out there amongst people who are in the conspiracy theory world like I am. That is definitely one I can't, no matter how hard I try, I just can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah, that's two of us.
Okay, good to know. And I don't, it's not like I look at people who believe that the Earth is flat or believe it's different shaped. I don't look at them as idiots. I just think, their perception is different than mine. And there would be one way to prove it, and that would actually to go into a spaceship and leave the atmosphere, which flat earthers say we cannot, that the dome keeps us in and we can't leave and can't break through that. So there's no way. So whatever we're seeing come from space is either fake, it's CGI, or it's within the atmosphere still. So I'd love to. And it happened since I was a child. Pretty much for as far back as I can remember, I have always wanted to go to the moon. And if anybody asked me when I was a child what I wanted to do when I grow up, I wanted to be the first person to open a restaurant on the moon. That was my response. I didn't want to be a princess or a whatever else. I wanted to go to the moon. And I still have that desire. I wish I could. That would be...
I'm just trying to understand how a spaceship will have enough gas to go to Mars and back. Or the moon and back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good question. I don't know. I feel like there is that camp of people that also say that airplanes can't carry enough fuel for trips. So there's some kind of anomaly with that sort of thing. How do we have enough fuel to make these long trips? So I don't know.
Well, that makes sense. You see at airports where the airplane gets gassed up before every flight, but you don't have a spot between here and the moon to gas up.
That's true. That's true. And according to whatever, Well, okay, so I'll just tell you, my dad worked as a civilian contractor with the Air Force during the 50s when they were in the midst of, more in the mid to late 50s, when they were in the midst of building these this new, what they called new technology for space travel. And he was heavily involved in all of that. And he told me some interesting stories about the technology that was being used at the time. It might have been a little more advanced than we've been led to believe. So, yeah, he saw some interesting things and stuff that he didn't try to explain in great detail, but he was an engineer, and he was quite brilliant and was able to be involved in a lot of the background construction and the testing, and oh, very interesting. I wish I had his pictures. My stepmom has everything. But it was interesting to hear his stories and what he would say. It just kind of blows your mind to think that, you know, they'll say today we don't have the technology to go to the moon, which I don't buy, but I just have to wonder what kind of technology.
I have a hard time with the moon landing, though, to be honest with you.
Right. And I think that a lot of people feel like that as well. And I'll tell you, and this is, might as well just tell you since we're on the topic, and I'm sure that we'll have a caller come in and have something to say about the flat Earth, which is fine. I don't know the talking points enough to argue with it, but so my belief, after what I've been told by my father and other people in his field, that yes, we can go to the moon, but we're not allowed to understand all of what happened and what is done, what was being done on the moon and was possibly being done right now on the moon for all kinds of reasons, but to keep that technology more under wraps. And so, yes, I do believe that a lot of the moon landing was filmed because they had to cover up what they found on the moon. And I can't really tell you how I know that, but it's just some of the things that my dad told me just really left me in awe of what could be happening. So there we go. Cat's out of the bag. I believe there's stuff going on the moon.
Well, I also look at Mars, and they have that Mars rover, and they say they have not found life on Mars, but the thing only goes 2 miles a year.
right.
That would be like if you just dropped a spaceship in the middle of Nevada. It might take 10 years to go 2 miles a year to find anything.
Right. And then you'll see background from the rover, and it looks like it was filmed somewhere on Earth. So it's hard to know what the authentic reality is that we're being fed through NASA and other corrupt agencies. It's hard to know what to believe from that. So there are lots of there are lots of reasons that I would have to believe that space travel is real and it happens and it's happening, but it's for certain groups to know right now. So I'd like to hope someday that we'll have full disclosure on that topic, and maybe I'll
be
wrong. That would be.
What if they want to ban airplanes, but then we can astral plane or get beamed up, and then our matter just goes to a different location.
I would be very much in favor of that. Absolutely. Like a portal? Or like beam me up Scotty from Star Trek? Sure. I mean, if that's the technology that's being used now, which may or may not surprise me, that Yeah, I can see that.
Well, I've heard that that's almost being perfected. Because look at everything else that Star Trek used between cell phones and phasers, which are now tasers.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And my dad would tell me his favorite show of all time when I was younger was Star Trek, the series, and then, of course, the movies. And he would tell me often that this is very similar to the tech that they were working on during his time, and that it was technology that they had gained from other sources. So this is something he didn't talk about with out in the public too much because, you know, he's since passed away. He died in 2012, but I'm sure at this point he doesn't mind that the things that he and I talked about I share with you, but that, yes, I'm pretty sure you're right, that there's the technology is there. It's being used somehow, even if we're not being told how much, how viable it, no, I shouldn't say viable, how available it is to the general public, because like you pointed out, well, would that put airplanes and cars and, well, oil and gas out of business? Would that make them obsolete? And that's, you know, a great way to keep people enslaved and keep the money wheels moving, keep us cogs in the wheel, keep us in our slavery mode. So, yeah, I think there's
Say you're picking up a couch or groceries for the house. Would you still have a car, or would you just have a shopping cart that you would hold on to while you get portaled?
Oh, I don't know if I've ever even thought about that detail before. That's a good question. I mean, in some tech, if you want to look at some tech, they would just say that they just 3D print their food now. They just take their their rations and they cook it up. And I don't know. That's a good question. I never thought about what it would take to go, you know, take your car. I do think, though, that I do honestly believe there is tech that is being used and has been for years, and it's definitely happening, but it's also not meant to come to the general public yet. But I do hope for full disclosure.
See, I was thinking, what if you were able to get portaled?
Mm-hmm.
And you get put in jail, but then you could just have somebody portal you out.
Hey, there you go. But see, now if you were in Star Trek. Ooh, sorry. Don't mix those two universes up. You were in Star Trek, they would have the technology in the jail that would thwart your ability to portal out. So they would put you basically in a Faraday cage.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
And that would disrupt the frequencies. Anyway, yes, it's something I think about a lot, and that's why I did try to understand Flat Earth, because I needed to know what it was I was hearing and if there was some validity. And, of course, there's validity to pretty much every theory out there, but there's so much more that cannot be explained. It's just impossible to understand it in one model.
Yeah, but then again, I believe strongly that everything that we have here, maybe there might be some things here and there that were never thought of or invented before, but I'm under the belief that 99.8% of everything here on Earth as we know it has already been invented.
Hmm.
And it was used in a previous generation.
I know
because,
where you're going with that.
I look at before it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and Noah had the ark, and there was discussion about people having sex literally all over the place in the streets, in with pets, with kids with everything, and it was just total debauchery, and nobody cared about our Lord and Savior. And so he just said, screw it, and had it rain. But we don't know how advanced that technology was.
Yeah, good point. And that would be the same theory of we've had a great reset, and perhaps we had higher tech then. That's why we have all the cathedrals that were left over and that sort of thing. So I understand what you're saying.
So, yeah, there's just like the lost pyramids of Egypt with King Tut, that it still holds up. So how did they get that high? Did they know how to use ladders and cranes back then?
Right. Right. And to have something so perfect, have every part of the pyramid fit so precisely that we wouldn't be able to do it like that today. We don't have the ability to do that today. So, yeah, it makes
you
wonder.
Well, there is the Luxor here in Vegas, but that's about as close as it gets.
Right. Yeah.
So I believe a lot of that stuff.
Well, good. So do I. It falls in all that conspiracy theory territory, so it's, you know, something that I research quite a bit, and I do reserve commenting on some things just because I don't have enough information to really comment in any kind of educated manner, so I always love to hear other people's viewpoints and theories on stuff and take it into my mind and try to understand it, make sense of it. And I do believe we had some resets for sure, flood related, and probably other resets before that as well.
Right. So when Klaus Schwab talks about the Great Reset, do you believe that they can get that they can get this, that they can get the population back to the 1300s or 1400s and just start civilization all over?
So I believe that, as I call them, the evildoers, that they could do that. I don't know if it would be something mankind could do, but could there be something more powerful than that to create a complete overhaul and reset? Of course. Absolutely. But I don't know how much humans, should say, how much power they have over that sort of thing, at least at this point, with just reading about what may have happened, say, if you look into the Tartaria view of a reset. They had at their fingertips free energy, a plasma form energy. And things were different then because energy was available to all people for anything. And you'd have, at some point, there was, I don't know if it's self-destruction or if it was just the natural way of things. And it created a worldwide calamity and another reset, where people, you know, who were able to survive or went underground or whatever they might have done to survive and are able to come back and start to rebuild and don't have the abilities that they had before, and so they have to start over at ground zero, basically, with whatever, rocks and sticks, I guess. So could we? Could we go back? Sure. I could see that being a possibility, but who would be at the helm of that full reset? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I just don't think right now that the Great Reset will happen. I just think there's still too many of us that are against this, and I think if they tried at, say, 2050, I think by the time us in our age, because I think most people under age 40, they could be duped into a Great Reset, and I just feel like people our age are not into that.
Right.
So I think if they tried again in 30 years, that they would be very successful. I just think they want this Agenda 2030 so bad, and they're still our generation.
Right,
but the
right.
great reset that is more in line to get with our kids and our kids' kids, if there are any.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, it's because of the plans that they have to depopulate and see how much procreation happens. I do feel like they're wanting to move us more into the AI and how that's going to look, and maybe it will be a generation or two from now to where everybody is. But their goal is to get us to where the humanity is really also artificial intelligence. And that way you're always uploaded to the cloud, and there's always, you know, that kill switch for any time that you misbehave. Or you start having independent thought, or you want to do something that is not approved by your leaders. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely, the next generation or two are much more enthusiastic about artificial intelligence and making it out like it's a form of resurrection, really.
See, we grew up with all these freedoms, so we remember what freedom is like, but someone that's 8 years old, they're not going to know.
Right. Yeah. Should be interesting. I would hope that we teach the children. I don't know. I mean, currently it's like drag queen story hours what teaches the children. Would hope that parents teach their children at home what it means to be sovereign and independent and free.
Can you imagine, though, that the actor Kirk Cameron has been turned down by over 50 libraries in California to do a Christian book reading, but those same libraries will do drag queen story time with no issue?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I had read that the response he kept receiving was something along the lines of it's not in alignment with the program or something. Something about not being in alignment.
But drag queen story time is.
Yes.
But my big question, though, is, Amanda, before drag queen story time, the libraries are not as popular as they were 20, 30 years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The last time I went to a library, there might have been 5 people in there.
So they're bringing drag queen story hour in to, I guess, enliven the environment and get people interested in coming in to read books, huh? Oh,
yeah, but only certain books.
Uh-huh.
I'm just in shock that we've made it acceptable to have porno for 5-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. You have to teach 5-year-olds about gay sex when five-year-old children have no clue what that even means.
They're not even interested. If you asked an average kid, what would you rather do? Would you rather be diddled by Creepy Joe, or would you rather play with a Spider-Man figure? 99 out of 100 kids are going to say, I want the Spider-Man figure.
Right. I'd probably say 100 kids. I'd probably say them all.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So, yeah, they don't know. They have no clue. And even so, even if, say, they had been exposed to some sort of sexuality, their little minds are not capable of putting two and two together. They don't understand that that's what the meaning of sex is anyway. Just having my own children and being a school teacher all these years, I've just seen that they don't have that frame of reference. Their brains are not fully developed yet. They don't have any kind of perception of that. They don't have background. They don't have enough background in it. It's stupid to expect children to understand the weight of what they're being told. It's ridiculous. They won't comprehend it. I don't care how much their parents are woke and expose their kids to whatever crazy thing. Children just don't comprehend it. It's all about these crazy adults who have their own agendas, and they're willing to sacrifice the innocence of children.
It just gets me how many parents actually are willing to take their kids to this.
Yeah, and it's for the parents to look like they're these great parents because the kids don't care.
Yeah, I've never had an interest in taking my kids to a drag queen story time.
No, we didn't have that kind of crap when we were raising our kids because those are adult things. Drag shows were going on when my kids were young, but they were like something you did at a nightclub or something, you know? It's not like you didn't bring your kids to stuff like that. That was adult entertainment.
And you sure don't show them your parts and tell them where to put the dollar bills.
Right. Yeah. And these little kids have no clue what's going on. It's like going to any kind of performance. They don't understand what the adults in the room are doing to these children. They don't know what's being done to them by the adults. And it's child abuse. It's straight up child abuse that it's reprehensible.
I'm just waiting on Drag Queen on Ice.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of Sesame Street,
instead of
you
Disney
got Drag Queen.
Oh no. That's disturbing. More disturbing. The whole thing is disturbing, but yeah.
Yeah, that might be something for our friends on Broccoli Man, the millennials. They might have to go see Drag Queens on Ice.
That would be an entertaining episode, that's for sure.
All right. Speaking of which, I'll go ahead and get this week's out of the way.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, let me give you the link. I don't think you have the link.
Okay. Hope I don't.
But it's not the millennials this week. It's the wiretap.
Okay.
I know you're sad about that. Your best friend Mike not on this week.
I will definitely miss it. His voice rings in my head. Or it, his, her, it, theirs.
Zems. He's a Zems now.
Zems. Okay, Zems voice. Got it. All right, well, I've got mine pulled up. I'm ready when you are.
All right. So we'll count it down. 3,
okay.
2, 1, action.
Right there, green dude. I need to talk to you right this instant.
Not today, wiretap. I do not want to discuss you trying to take a selfie with my kumquats. Or that you need to make me go to drag queen story time with you.
I was not going to say any of that, green dude. I was going to ask you a couple music questions. One, the song called Hurt. Who did it better? Globalist says Johnny Cash did it better, but I prefer the original by Nine Inch Nails. And who did you prefer in Van Halen? Globalist says Sammy Hagar was better, but once again I prefer the original. David Lee Roth was the best. I asked the factor and she gave me a fact strike for being too controversial.
Why are you involving me in this?
Come on, green dude. I bet you, globalist, that you would agree with me. We have a lunch bet for each of them. Please do not side with G. Globalist. He wants to take me to eat his bugs if I lose. Eating maggots and mealworms are for you 99% dolts and something luck heirs. Not for us 1% who rule all over the earth.
Why would I care if you have to eat ZE bugs? You are trying to force me to eat ZE bugs.
Come on, green dude. Johnny Cash was okay. But he said he wears a crown of thorns. Trent Reznor just comes out and owns it when he says he wears a crown of shaw.
I do not have a favorite in either song. I usually side with the original. But that Johnny Cash was one of the best remakes ever in the history of music. I do not have a favorite. And I was never a Van Halen fan. I preferred Def Leppard.
That tears it, green dude. You are unable to answer simple questions. You are a total square, sir. You are also a buskiller butt munch and a biznitch.
Hey, that's great. Well, nice seeing you again.
Not so fast, little busy. When you are out here in these main streets, you need to wear a bloody scam on that face. We do want you to get Mpox, sir.
Only one person so far in the past 12 months has died of monkeypox.
Why are you being a racist, sir? It is now called Mpox so that it does not offend the Black Lives Matter.
Anyway, I am not worried about whatever pox, or COVIDs, or any other disease. I take enough vitamins and do not eat GMO trash. I am not taking any gene therapies.
What the bleep do you think, you business green dude? Why do you want to kill my grandma, sir?
Does your grandma live here?
My grandmother lives across the pond in the Isle of Wight.
So, please tell me how me not wearing a scam in the southwest part of the United States will affect your grandma in the United Kingdom.
Because it is science, green dude. Science. Even Dr. Freud and Klaus Schwab will tell you this, sir. The 99% needs to wear bloody scams on that face so we can get rid of the virus that Dr. Freud is funding that will kill over 80% of the people that get infected with it. I mean, it is the polite thing to do. Please do forget the other thing I just said. That was misinformation.
Please help me understand. Dr. Frotti is still funding the gain-of-function research. They have made a new strain of COVID that will kill 80% of the people coming in contact with it. And this is okay. And the best way for the 99% to protect ourselves is to wear a scam on our face. The package even says it does not protect against COVID. But that is how you want the public to protect from a virus in three different labs funded by the 1%.
Precisely, green dude. We want you to be safe.
If you want the public to be safe, then why not stop the gain-of-function research laboratories and leave everyone alone?
Why are you such a racist, green dude?
Just like a true globalist. Just change the subject when you lost the argument.
The UK Daily Mail is reporting that eating broccoli can give you COVID. We have to now take you into G. Globalist lair so we can monitor you, green dude.
Never.
that was the wrong choice of words as green dude. Now I'm forced to run my hands through your long flowing mane.
Don't you have any hobbies other than stalking me?
That was a bad decision to open that front door, green dude. You keep stepping in it. I'm now going to have to inspect the junk. Please produce said dungarees into my arms as if we are slow dancing to Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. We can pull the song up on my Spotify and we can dance together if you like, green dude.
That's going to be a no for me, dog.
That is going to be a yes for me, dog. I need less rubes, more pubes. Let me repeat myself. I need less rubes, more pubes. Just like New Edition said, let me love you down, green dude.
First of all, I have 0% interest. Second, that was not New Edition. That was Ready for the World.
You do not know how to keep the cake hole shut, do you, sir? We are going to bring you to Geolobalist Lair and hide you even better than we hid the evidence of Hunter Biden's laptop.
Okay, I need to get back to work. Please check out Proof Negative and his radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time on the West Coast. He keeps everyone up to date on truth news. He likes to fight the new world order and educate everyone. Please help your friends wake up. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Check out the schedule and find some of the other shows too. You will be glad you did. freedomizerradio.com.
If you listen to Proof Negative, you will be considered a domestic terrorist threat. We demand you never ever listen to the Proof Negative show. You better continue to get your gene therapies and do not complain when you get a heart attack, blood clots, or a stroke. You only get those when someone like this green dude tries to provide you with false information. Now get out there and get those bloody scams on that face.
All right, so that was an episode. I hope it was okay. Amanda, did I put you to sleep? All right, I must have put Amanda to sleep. I'll go ahead and play some commercials here since it is almost the top of the hour.
Sorry, my phone was glitching out. That's not you.
Oh, all right.
I could not get it to wake back up. That was crazy. So, anyway, you're welcome to play the commercials, though. I loved the episode, all the good references, although, you know, I'm a Van Halen fan, but I guess I can still be friends with Broccoli Man.
Not everybody's going to like everything. But just for
That's
the record,
true.
I didn't really care for Van Hagar too much.
Oh, me neither. I'm not a Sammy Hagar fan in general. So I thought it was kind of...
I don't hate him. It just, for me, it just... And I know they sold a lot of albums, but it's just not my preference. I'm not going to say they sucked because they didn't. It just was not my preference.
Right. I understand.
All right. So let's go ahead and see what we have in commercial land here.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news. And the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
G.I. Joe,
kids, you hate ginger?
Yeah!
Then get the brand new androgynous action person, G.I. Pack!
Cool!
G.I. Pack is rid of all the fun and excitement of G.I. Joe's and replaces it with self-righteousness and anger!
This dino won't tell me his pronouns. Take a risk, Nazi!
G.I. Pack comes with awesome accessories, like a commuter bike, a sword latte, and a cell phone with instant outrage self-reaction!
Pro-life people should die!
But look out! Here comes G.I. Pack's greatest bow!
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Mike Pence!
Mike Pence and the evil right-wingers will stop at nothing to destroy G.I. Pack, and it's up to you to fight back!
I won't share a meal with another woman unless someone else is present.
Right side of history! I'm dead!
Now you know your gender identity, and knowing is half the battle.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysnica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysnica Freedom microchip. SNSHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysnica joint.
This Freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysnica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysnica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming fruit shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com. M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flawed, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You you get 8% of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative Show here on freedomizerradio.com.
Heard of me before. So, Amanda, I think it might be your turn for a topic.
Well, I did send you a link on Facebook Messenger. You may have looked at it already. And that's what I had been reading about before the show started. And did you have a chance to look at it?
I looked at that. From the Gateway Pundit, but mm-hmm. I did not download anything.
Okay, yeah. So this is I just watched the Project Veritas page, and they released some video. I believe it was earlier today. I don't think it was yesterday. Pretty sure it was today, and it's a video of a private school dean talking about how. Or bragging to somebody about teaching gay sex to his students. And it's a short video. He's being videotaped without his knowledge, obviously, and talking about having a specific, quote-unquote, LGBTQ help group come and speak to his students in his classroom. And pass around different sex toy items to the students and letting them touch it and talk about how they're used. And this is something that he was happy about during their Gay Pride Week. I believe it was a full week. Yes, they do a Pride Week every year. And he said he had the LGBTQ plus Health Center come into the classroom passing around these items and how they work. And then later they had a drag queen come in and pass out cookies and brownies and do pictures. And so he goes on to say the kids were just playing with them, looking at them, talking about the sex objects. They're like, how does this work? How do we do, like, how do you use it? And he goes on, that's a really cool part of my job. So... Anyway, it was released today, and since then the school has taken their Twitter account down, and they're doing a little bit of scrambling to repair the damage done by this man. His name, let's see, where is his name here? Joseph Bruno, Dean of Students at the Francis W. Parker School, and that is in... Tell me where the school is located. It doesn't tell me. Oh, Chicago. So that's that's a good indication of when we talk about the having these people, I don't know what to call them, these people come to do story hour or to be in close contact teaching children. This is what it morphs into. So you start out with something that seems like it's pretty non-threatening. Just have some performer come in and perform something for children, and then pretty soon it's, you know, put, like you said, put a dollar in my G-string kind of thing, and now we're bringing in this health group, quote-unquote health group, to teach these children about sex toys and
I don't know how
them
that is helped.
that's not, and that's the issue. So you start out with something that seems benign and basic and not going to hurt anything, and then it morphs into, hey, let's pass around these toys and let's tell you all about it and implant those thoughts in your mind that you might not have been thinking about before, but now you can go home thinking about that. And he goes on to say in the video, too, because the person who's recording asks him, so are you going to have angry parents? And he says, no, because this is sex ed. This is sexual health. Mm. So he's under this umbrella of, you know, I am the teacher. This is a health topic. I have the say and what I bring in to teach these students. And he had no fear whatsoever that the parents were going to be upset. He didn't tell the kids not to go home and to keep, or to go home and keep it to themselves. He had no fear whatsoever that it's just fine. But that's not very telling. I mean, myself as a now former teacher, I'd be horrified.
So nobody at your school was thinking about bringing stuff like this into the classroom.
Right. But yeah. Could you imagine? I wouldn't do that. Number one, I don't even think about that kind of thing. My question for my classroom would be, oh, I wonder if I can bring this very tasteful and cute children's cartoon about Christmas into the classroom, make sure that it's clean as can be. That would be my concern. Not, hey, I wonder if I can get away with teaching these children things that no child should be thinking about. And this guy wasn't even worried about his, well, his reputation, of course, but about having parents upset. The school where I taught, oh, like that would have been, yeah, people would be in jail if that had been here. So it's just showing that that's the chain of events. You start something benign and you work your way up to something horrifying.
But I guess when you're in liberal Chicago, then you can get away with stuff like that.
Apparently, and that's, you know, even though I am in a small town, a small conservative town, I don't know what some of these other schools might be willing to do, what some teachers at some schools might be willing to do in the name of their quote-unquote health education. You know, I remember as a teenager when we had our week at the high school of, I don't know if it was a week, vague memories of that, but just a sex talk and an educational, you know, round table type of thing where you brought students of a certain age together and you had frank questions and they were answered by some sort of health-related person. And it was just, it was so basic, and they had things that they kept it very tasteful. And these were older people, not kindergartners, not young kids. We're talking like, I want to say I might have been 17. I know I was a senior in high school, so I must have been about 17.
Well,
so what, you know,
I never had a sex ed class.
Oh.
The only one that taught me about the birds and bees was me.
Right.
Yeah, you can have zero education on it. You'll figure it out.
That's true. You're right about that. And, well, I do remember the intention. Of course, this was so many years ago, probably 1988 for me, or 89, that... The intention was to get real information instead of, you know, friends sharing silly stories or learning these things from friends or peers, I should say, or learning them incorrect information about things. But I don't remember it ever being this time to talk about, to know if you're actually heterosexual or homosexual. This wasn't the time to decide, like, who you are, if you're homosexual or not. That was something that you didn't have to be taught in school. You just didn't have to learn that stuff in school.
And not just taught, but it's taught that being gay is better than everything else.
Yeah, that's true. True, you're special. You're special if you're confused about your gender. You're special if you're bisexual. You're special that way. It wasn't ever anything that was definitely, like you said, you taught yourself. You learned those things on your own. So to me, it's like, why are we spending any energy teaching or bringing that topic to children at all? It's useless information for little ones, and for the older ones, it's disturbing how it's being brought to their minds, as though this is something that everybody just wishes they knew. Some of the stuff they talk about, I'm 51 years old, and some of the stuff that they talk about, even in this article, I was like, what is that? I don't even know what that is. These sex toys, I don't know if they are. It's ludicrous, and it's disturbing.
Yeah, I've never had the privilege of playing with sex toys before.
Yeah, so same. And that's what they're teaching the kids? I don't see the point of that. Obviously trying to get these, and I still think it's an adult agenda. I still think it's the adults trying to look and seem like they are so educated and that they're so inclusive and that they're just so welcoming to every lifestyle that there's not one judgmental bone in their bodies. They just have to be, not only do they just accept that there are people with lifestyles like that, but they welcome it and they embrace it and they celebrate it. And having parades for things and just your sexual preference, and you're supposed to have a parade for it. And I don't see the point of any of that.
Well, it's liberal, that's why.
Yeah. And it just seems like it weakens and it cheapens what could be a beautiful thing between two loving, committed adults. It seems to just make it ridiculous.
But look at what's going to happen within the next 10 to 15 years, and all this will be to get that generation of whether you're in your 30s and those are the kids that are in school now or our kids' kids. But that's the goal. They figure we're too old. We're not going to convert. They're looking at the under 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll have, maybe it might be where being heterosexual might be a crime. Maybe, well, it's not maybe, but within 20 years, I would expect, barring a miracle, that you'll need a microchip for literally everything.
Uh-huh.
And,
well,
of course, Christianity will be banned.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sounds about right. And that's what I was referring to earlier, was they want to get it to where you're not having sex to procreate. That happens in a test tube. You pay to have your child grown for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at how the chemicals have changed the DNA of or the sexual prowess of humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. And now they'll be happy to give children those same blockers if there's any chance that the child even pretends to act like another gender. Just go and sign them up for the chemicals to stop that now. And the parents, of course, go along with it and make it happen so that they can look like they're loving parents who will engage their child into any fantasy.
Well, those there are schools where they want to give puberty blockers to all the kids. So it doesn't matter if a kid thinks that they don't know anything about sex. You have to take your puberty blocker.
Wow.
And the parents have no say-so in that. Unless they homeschool.
Right. Pretty disturbing. Yeah, it's fascinating to watch. Actually, it's really sad to watch. Not fascinating, it's sad. I never thought I would see such depravity. This is my grandchild. My oldest is 13. And my youngest grandchild is 4. This is the world that they're coming into at this point. And they're all boys. All my grandchildren are boys.
Well, that's going to be the target of the Klaus Schwab.
Mm-hmm.
That's the future.
Yep.
Yeah, we are not the future.
Right.
Hey, I hope I don't sound too bad. I've had a migraine all day, and I can't keep my eyes open. Not that I'm tired; it just hurts.
I'm so sorry.
So I'm not reading too much.
I'm sorry to hear that. Did you need to end the show early tonight so that you can
did that 2 days in a row, and I'm still looking for help on Mondays and Tuesdays, and neither day I was interested in doing 3 hours where I was talking to, for, and by myself.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. I'm sorry, that's miserable. My husband had a migraine on Thanksgiving Day. So I know it can be pretty painful.
Yeah, I don't know
what
if it's
do you
that.
Take?
I do get eye arthritis, which is called iritis, every so often.
Oh.
Which means
and do
that
you think
for,
that's at...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'll answer a question.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you think that's related to being on the computer with your job?
I've had this off and on for at least 10 years, so I don't know.
Okay.
Although I've had it worse than this, but...
Huh.
But it's...
Well...
Sometimes it's at the point where I'm wearing blinders in the house and I have to sit with the light off.
Ouch.
So I'm not wearing blinders today.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you're here tonight and that everything's okay, and I mean...
Well, everything's okay. It's just that I uploaded some clips yesterday, and I have some clips that I could upload for today, but we can get into some of those if you want, or if you want to pick some topics, we could talk.
Oh, no, you can grab those clips if you've got them downloaded. I'd be interested to hear that. So, yeah.
I don't know if you heard about, and I have my eyes open here for a second, but the Peru president was impeached and arrested for trying to make a coup of of Congress out there. So he tried to make himself a dictator, and it didn't work.
Well, no, I hadn't heard anything of that.
I just don't get it, where someone like Trump wants to be remembered for doing good and being the best at the presidency job, whether or not he was, that's for opinion. But I don't think Brandon looks at that in the same sentence. People either become a leader because they want to make their country better, or they just love the power and they're addicted to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just don't see where, if you're turning your country into a total Marxist communist state and you get all the power and everybody else gets none, how are you making it a better environment for everybody else? And the answer is you're not.
Right.
I just don't think that people should try to be president so they could be the communist ruler over a country.
Yeah, agreed. I agree with that. And don't you feel like they put the current president in his position because he's easily manipulated and controlled?
Well, of course. That's why they had to not have Trump win at all costs. That's why they helped Katie Hobbs in Arizona, because they did not want Ron DeSantis of the West in Arizona.
Right.
There are people I know that said that they would have moved to Arizona if Katie Lake became governor, or Carrie Lake.
Yeah, I agree with that. I actually thought about it, too. Thought if I had to move away from Utah, I could do that. I could go to Arizona.
Well, you're not
obviously
that far away,
not.
Anyway.
That's true.
And I have never been to Littlefield, Arizona, so I have no clue what's there.
I don't think I've ever been there either. No, I know I haven't. So I
well, it's
don't
close
know
to you.
Either. Yeah. And I drive by it, but never been there for anything. Haven't had the need yet.
I should go on Yelp and see if there's any businesses there even. But if Haiti Cobbs is there, then there's no reason to worry about that. But Carrie Lake says that there's lawsuits getting ready to happen.
Oh, that's good to know, because there was a lot of...
I think that they thought that Carrie Lake would just go down and just be mad and not do anything, because nobody ever does anything.
Right. True.
Go ahead. I ran all over you.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it seems to me like it's obvious that there was... it's a conflict of interest, and very much being able to put this put herself in position and have the say over her getting elected. So it just seems like
there was just too many negatives and anomalies, and she's the one in charge of it, but as the Secretary of State, she could certify her own election.
There you go.
And she's going out saying that there was nothing wrong with the election and this is normal.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that's what she'd say, because it worked out in her favor. She was able to make that happen, I should say, for herself.
So what's up politically in St. George? Anything of interest?
Not that I'm aware of. That's when I go to Laura. You've met Laura. She's my go-to
right.
for all things political around here. We're just mostly focusing on what's going to hit, what's happening with our big symposium that we have coming up in January. So mostly been planning around that. I have one event I'm doing, that not this weekend, but next, and then the 14th of January as well. And so working more on those types of things. We do have a conservative, for the most part, a more conservative city government here and county government as well, but it's just, it's still corrupt. You still hear about lots of backroom dealings happening, even though it's considered conservative. But currently, there's no talk of like any lockdowns of anything or returning of masks or anything that's being talked about in New York. And I'm sure you've heard what's on the docket for New York.
Oh, of course. But I need a couple minutes. I would love to talk about that because I do have that in my agenda. So
awesome.
If you have anything to go over or if you want to start on it, then I'll come back.
Okay, sounds good.
But go ahead.
Just read right here.
All right.
Okay. So if you haven't visited Project Veritas's website, it's a great wealth of information. And I just love this website. So one of the main things that Project Veritas, one of their main goals is to bring to light certain corruption, and they do it in such a great way with investigative reporting, and it seems like we should have investigative reporting still today on our regular news stations, but sadly we don't, as we're probably all aware that it's one script that gets passed around in all the news stations, all your regular mainstream media news stations just repeat the same thing. But Project Veritas actually does legitimate investigative reporting and undercover reporting as well. And they're working to expose child trafficking, which I'm very much in favor of. I think most reasonable adults are. And so I follow their stuff quite closely because I am very much in favor of their platform. And if you go to their website, they have a link titled Wall of Shame. And this lists all the different retractions that other reporters, quote-unquote reporters, have had to do when they have tried to defame this website or even just the main person who, let's see, maybe I can pull up this one right here. So James O'Keefe is the activist, the main face for Project Veritas. And, for example, the Washington Post has had to retract, several in different from different reporters from the Washington Post. And so if you go to their website, you can see all the retractions that have come out that these different reporters have had to do. So there's a recent retraction. Oh, it's a video. I'm not going to be able to read it. But for your own information, you can go there and see all the different retractions that have been had to be publicly posted. Because of the work that Project Veritas does is actually legitimate, and they try to defame James O'Keefe, and they try to thwart the movement, but it's pretty hard to do that when the cause is so important, like ending child trafficking, and this is the same group of people, specifically James O'Keefe, who is able to get videos of these evildoers and show their plans. And that's where I found the information that dean of the school. Very fascinating stuff. I follow them on Instagram as well.
All right, I'm here, kind of.
I hear you. I was just talking
York
about
State. If you have that up, I don't know the bill numbers offhand, but I remember reading that they're taking parental rights away from parents over vaccinations in schools.
Mm-hmm.
A kid 6 and up has the right to decide if they want their gene therapy, or someone in the school can decide for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they're taking out religious exemptions for work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I was looking for where I had read it. Don't see it. I don't see it right here. It's lost amongst the many things I read earlier today.
Well, I probably posted something on it.
Oh, I guess I could go to Facebook.
Well, I don't use Instagram, so, yeah.
That's true.
And I like how TikTok, you have half the states now that are banning TikTok from all state devices.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that one. Very funny.
Yeah, my wife loves TikTok. That's her thing.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty quick information, as long as you can trust what's being put out there.
Yeah, I have a couple friends that live on TikTok, and they send me all the truth type stuff, especially what was going on in China.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was watching some video from China, and I'm looking at your Facebook page, and I'm not seeing it off the top here.
All right. So, oh, well. I know I looked at it, and I meant to save it. I thought I did.
Oh, here it is. It was a day ago. I was just looking at today.
All right.
On January 5th, the legislative session begins. Here's a snapshot. Just a few of the bills that are looking to be passed in NYS and forced COVID shot mandates, forces all adult vaccine records into a state database, forced COVID shots for college and school and to attend preschools and daycare, eliminates religious exemptions for work and college, eliminates parents' consent to shots when a child reaches 14 years of age, and eliminates parents' right to consent to STD shots for children of any age. And then the bill, Assembly Bill A416, allows the governor to imprison without trial anyone she considers a threat to public health.
If you live in New York State and you're sharing information about how gene therapies don't work, they have the right to imprison you.
Exactly. Because you are now a threat to public health, according to this governor.
No, that's what everybody voted on, though, right?
Right. Right.
So they wanted their tyranny with extra onions, and they got it.
Yeah. Because they're happy to give up their control to their lives in the name of their daddy government and mommy medicine.
But everybody's talking about how, I saw this, I wish I could see a copy of it right now, but I'm not going to look for it. But there was something that said that just because people you know are dying of COVID does not exclude you from getting your COVID shot.
Right. I read that too. That's the new CDC recommendation. Just because people are dying from it doesn't mean that you shouldn't get it. Like, you don't
there's
even care about
others.
There's
lawsuits going on as we speak, but they're still pushing it. Like nobody is doing anything. Like they're still pretending it's the greatest thing ever, even though there's lawsuits. And every
right.
single day, there was somebody, a defensive tackle or an end on the Carolina Panthers. He had a stroke and a heart attack just a couple days ago, and he was one of those that admitted that he had his gene therapy a few months back.
Huh. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but yes, that doesn't surprise me.
That's today.
But now that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
but you know, he'll go get it.
Yeah, Rod Stewart's 11-year-old son, and Rod Stewart said nobody's allowed in their house unless they've had at least 3 gene therapies.
Right. And Rod Stewart, I think he lost 2 siblings, too, not too long ago as well. And now his son has had a heart attack at 11. That's disturbing. 11-year-olds don't just have heart attacks, but lately that's been happening. Very, very, very rare for 11-year-olds to have heart attacks, but not now.
So how is it that even though there's lawsuits going on, that they could still push this?
That's a great question. I mean, feel like...
And then scams are back in New York City and Los Angeles?
Right. Yep. And
they've never worked before, but we're going to keep making them happen.
Yeah. Even though just recently Fauci himself was unable to back up his claims with any legitimate science or study or a dang thing at all. And he was busted right there on the stand for not having any corroborative evidence that masks work. And he's quoted how many times before, what was it, like June of 2020, when he started being like, oh, yeah, just wear them. Many times before that, saying that they don't work. So, but nobody, it just seems to me like they're just going to keep bringing something up. So right now it's RSV, it's the flu, and it's COVID. But mostly it's RSV because RSV is a childhood disease, quote unquote, and they want to make the COVID vaccine mandatory for all children. So they want to make that a part of the childhood vaccine schedule. And they've done that in some instances, but they want to make it for, you know, birth on, and the best way to do that is to try to link RSV to COVID. It's going to have to, because they can't prove that COVID kills any children whatsoever. So they're just going to now try to take 2 separate illnesses and try to tie them together and say that the only way to prevent your child from getting RSV is to get the COVID vaccine, aka the gene therapy. So that's how there are lawsuits going on right now, because they're not going to touch on, there's not going to be any mainstream media coverage of lawsuits of any kind over anything that comes from Merck or Johnson & Johnson or you name any of those manufacturers. They're not going to have anything come out about them because they're going to have to protect their ability to make these very important RSV vaccines. It's just going to be so imperative that we don't hinder their progress. That's the way
it's
I
just hard for me to understand
now.
Where you're hearing every single day with stuff, and this is mainstream stuff. This isn't just our kind of stuff that we follow. This is major stuff. The military even went backwards on their mandatory gene therapies. So how is it that they can all of a sudden put the everything to be mandatory.
Right. I don't know if enough people question that.
So are they just going after the gullibles and whoever doesn't get it, they probably don't have to do a thing. They'll have enough gullibles that'll keep them going for a while?
I would assume so. Yeah. I would assume that's the truth of that situation. Those who think that they're just doing what's best for everyone else. Yeah.
Well,
but
there are still people out there that say that they're wearing their scams to help other people.
That's true. If it saves just one life.
I don't need anybody wearing a scam to save my life.
Right. I know I would say on occasion, thinking that my health is your responsibility is very narcissistic. I would not expect any person out there to feel responsible for my health. That's my job. And to walk around claiming that you're doing it for me is just a narcissistic thing to do. Like you. That important.
Well, you could still buy cigarettes.
That's true. Good thing.
I've never tasted a cigarette in my life.
Yeah. You haven't missed, you're not missing a thing.
I didn't expect it.
Yeah, you're not missing a thing. I promise. It's not anything interesting. It's disgusting, actually. I used to smoke in high school.
The funniest thing I've ever seen with smoking was, and I'm sure you've probably been to Ogden, Utah. It's not that far from Salt Lake.
Oh, yeah, I lived there.
So there are days when the temperatures will be in the negatives with the wind chill factor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I remember being there when it was like minus 16 with the wind chill factor on a Sunday night or Friday. I don't know what it, I think it was a Sunday, but it could have been a Friday. And the comedy club that I worked at for that week, there was an empty lot next to it, and in minus 16-degree temperature, you see a couple hundred people smoking cigarettes in that empty lot before they go in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious to me.
Yep. You know you really have an addiction when you're willing to do that. So I think it's my turn for a little break.
All right.
Is there something you'd like to chat about for a moment?
I'll play something.
Okay, sounds good. I'll be back.
All right. All right, so let's check out, I want to play a Tucker Carlson here.
So we told you on Friday about the internal documents from Twitter that Elon Musk released, gave to Matt Taibbi, who wrote about them, and then they told us, Taibbi and Musk, said that this is just the first batch. You're going to get a lot more in days to come, over the weekend and yesterday. But they never came. That's kind of weird. The deadline came and went. What happened? Well, we learned today what happened. This weekend, Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss, who's helping him do this reporting, found out that the general counsel of Twitter, that would be the former FBI general counsel, James Baker, had been vetting the documents before Taibbi and Weiss could see them. In other words, removing the ones that might incriminate him or the Fed. Apparently, even Elon Musk, who owns Twitter, didn't know this was happening. Now, keep in mind, in case you're looking for evidence of sinister intent, This same Jim Baker was sort of the architect of the Russia collusion hoax in 2016. This is the guy who obtained the fraudulent FISA warrants and targeted Michael Flynn, for example. So this afternoon, Elon Musk fired Baker from Twitter. Quote, in light of concerns about Baker's possible role in suppression of information important to the public dialogue, he was exited from Twitter today. An amazing story that just happened. So to make sense of it, we are happy to be joined by Miranda Devine of the New York Post, who's been at the center of the story for over 2 years. Miranda, thank you so much for coming on. What do you make of this?
Hi, Tucker. Well, look, as you and I discussed on Friday night, it was pretty obvious that the Twitter files that had just been released were missing a crucial element, and that was the FBI. So, you know, we surmised that somehow Elon Musk had redacted it, or someone had withheld the information about the FBI's
intervention. May I ask you to pause right there, Amanda? Miranda, you were the only person who said that, actually. It wasn't me, it was you. You were the first person who took a look at those documents and you said, someone has taken out the incriminating stuff. And I think you were the only person to catch that, so I just think you deserve credit for it.
Well, so the FBI, we knew, had pre-bunked to the social media platforms our story. Before it came out, they told them to expect a pile of Russian disinformation, and Twitter was told by the FBI, we know from Joel Roth, to expect that it would be in October and would probably refer to Hunter Biden. So we knew that. There had to be something about that at Twitter, and yet there wasn't in the Twitter files. And it was pretty obvious who was suppressing that information, who was the person with the biggest motive. It was Twitter's top lawyer, James Baker, who, as you just said, had been the top lawyer at the FBI, the quarterback of the FBI-Russia collusion scandal. And he had had to leave the FBI because of that, and lo and behold, he shows up at Twitter 5 months before the 2020 election, and lo and behold, one little element did come out in the Twitter files Friday night. It was this one email that had the date and time removed from it, very peculiarly, but it was from James Baker, and it was weighing in on the decision on the morning of October 14, 2020, a few hours after our story came out. And there was James Baker weighing in on the side of censorship. No surprise.
Amazing. And as you said at the very outset, this is not just a story about free speech on social media. This is a story about the corruption of the FBI, federal law enforcement. And you were absolutely right. Miranda Devine vindicated once again.
And Tucker, look, yeah, Elon Musk needs to let all the information out, let us all see it. No more of this
right.
Curating and holding back.
No, it's ridiculous. I appreciate it. Thank you, Miranda. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly open stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Tucker Carlson tonight.
Facebook parent Meta threatening to remove all news from its site if Congress passes a law allowing news organizations to bargain with tech companies for compensation.
That's right, negotiate. Meta furiously adding, quote, put simply, the government creating a cartel-like entity which requires one private company to subsidize other private entities is a terrible precedent for all American businesses, they write.
Fox and Friends weekend co-host and deep thinker Will Cain is here to put it all in perspective. Will, how significant is this?
Oh, it's incredibly significant. It's allowing, essentially, a monopoly in the news industry of all of our traditional news entities to then go into Facebook and say, you have to carry us, and here's what you have to pay us. Right. And, Brian, like in any type of, this would be an antitrust exemption. So in any type of monopoly situation, what you do is you control the outlet and you crowd out the upstarts. Now this is why, okay, this is why it's important. I think the most important, some of the most important journalism done, certainly over the last year, and I would argue over the last 5 to 10 years, has been independent citizen journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Where did Elon Musk give the Twitter files? He gave it to an independent journalist at Substack in Matt Taibbi, and now to another independent journalist in Substack, Barry White. If you allow the New York Times and the Washington Post and the LA Times and CNN to all dictate who gets this, who gets exposure and at what price, they have now control over the how loud the voices can be. Mm-hmm. They can be the loudest voices. They can choose, and nobody's been more censorious. No one's chosen to embrace censorship more than media companies in the last year or two. Mm-hmm. We know that. They've actually loved it, the existing, the legacy media companies, because it allows them to crowd out those that would look to compete. This just formalizes it into law.
But also, will, you know, essentially these online aggregators take stuff we do and other people do, independent journalists, take the stuff that our product, our content, and put it up there for free. Whereas people go and they click around on these aggregators, hey, I'm going to look at that news. Obviously, you know, all the media companies have got a financial interest in it. So it's great for all the media companies and writers because then Facebook, which is gigantically rich, has to share some of the cash.
Yeah, but Steve, so the relationship between, you said, all of us, anybody that creates content, right, and the distributor, Facebook. And look, I'm not here to defend Facebook or even their business model, but I understand that the relationship is a voluntary one. We put our content on their platforms because we want exposure to their audience. And then we can reap some advertising revenue if you want. And look, do I think it's great? Do I think it's a great business model? Do I think it produces the best journalism in all cases? No, I do not. But I don't think the answer to that, you know how long Congress has wanted to control the media? How often have the Democratic Party tried to pass the Fairness Doctrine, you know, so that they could control the evening out of left and right voices on talk radio? You don't think that if Congress now gets to help coalesce this monopoly, they're going to help determine who's a part of the cartel, who gets in and who doesn't? I'm telling you right now, it will shut down citizen journalism. It'll shut down small business. And by the way, it has the ability to help foreign powers. I mean, you know, some Chinese media company can't come in and be a part of this cartel, even surreptitiously through the New York Times or the LA Times. I don't like this, Steve. I don't like this at all.
Will, thank you so much. Great to see you.
I'm Steve Goosey.
I'm Brian Kilmeade.
And I'm Ainsley Earhart. And click here to subscribe to the Fox News YouTube page to catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis.
All right, so let me see if Amanda made it back. Amanda, you back with us?
I am back.
All right. So, yeah, I played a couple of clips. I have more if you feel like listening to what I uploaded before I had my headache.
Yeah, I'm down to listen to it. You bet.
All right, so let's see what we got here. All right, so we have a Tucker Carlson.
It's funny about profound change. You always imagine when things change radically, there are going to be troops in the streets, and you're going to know this is the pivot point, this is the revolution. But that's most of the time not what actually happens. Usually there's some guy in a suit and tie speaking soothing words, and you don't even know that everything is changing when it is. That's the case with what happened on June 15th, 2012, a decade ago. On that day, Barack Obama walked into the Rose Garden and announced, full of self-confidence and coolness, Obama announced that his administration decided actually not to deport millions of illegal immigrants. Henceforth, Barack Obama explained, these millions of people would no longer be identified, in fact, as illegal aliens or even breakers of federal law, which everyone had assumed they were. No. Going forward, they would be called dreamers. So illegal aliens are bad, of course, but dreamers are good. And because to control language is to control reality, these dreamers would no longer be subject to federal law. They'd be above federal law because you can't ban a dream. That's effectively the case that Obama made. Now, what Obama did that day was, strictly speaking, illegal. Several courts later ruled that it's illegal, obviously. Only kings and legislatures get to change the law. American presidents do not have that power and never have. But no one stopped Barack Obama from doing this, so he did it anyway. And the effect, the intended effect, was immediate. Foreign nationals flooded into the United States. Over the decade before Obama's Dreamer Rose Garden announcement, about 8,000 unaccompanied minors showed up at the U.S. border every year. After Obama redefined lawbreakers as dreamers, more than 24,000 showed up. and that's accelerated. Under Joe Biden, the number has grown to 130,000 per year. Now, it's interesting where these people are coming from. They're not coming from a contiguous nation, Mexico. No, they're coming from much farther away. According to new numbers from HHS, 32% of unaccompanied migrants they're seeing are from Honduras. 47% are from Guatemala. Look at a map. 13% are from El Salvador. Those are far away. Those are in Central America. Just 1% are coming from Mexico. What's going on here exactly? Well, mostly they are teenagers. The overwhelming majority are over the age of 14. They're not little kids. And again, this is accelerating. And it didn't stop during the last administration. The Trump administration didn't stop it. Under media pressure, that administration agreed to end so-called family separations at the border. Really, they're inhumane. But the fact is, family separations happen all the time to American citizens. If you commit a crime, you're going to be separated from your kids, and NBC News won't care at all, much less report it. But illegal aliens, dreamers, shouldn't be forced to face these consequences, explained the New York Times. So now they're not faced to, because they're dreamers. So naturally, the surge continued. But why? Why? Typically, a country calculates its immigration levels based on its internal needs. So all throughout American history, there have been periods where, oh, we need people to do this or that. Let's import those people. But based on the state of the U.S. economy in 2022, these are not the people you would import if you cared about your country. Almost none of the arrivals have a meaningful education. They're not trained to participate in the emerging economy you hear so much about. STEM plays no role in this. There's no economic justification whatsoever for these levels of immigration. And of course, immigration destabilizes your society. It makes it far less cohesive. That's always true. It doesn't matter where they're coming from. If you have a ton of new people, you're less cohesive. So why are they coming? Well, there's only one reason. Because the Democratic Party wants new voters. Period. That's not a racist conspiracy. There's a racist No, it's not. It's true. And we know that it's true, not because we heard it on Alex Jones, but because leading Democrats have said so repeatedly in public for years. And here's the latest example. Here is Chuck Schumer, the head Democrat in the U.S. Senate, last month.
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
Everything about that was a lie. We need workers, really. There are, what, 7 million American-born men who have dropped out of the workforce, workforce age who just aren't working, who are on the Internet all day? Does anyone care? No. Just replace them. Americans aren't reproducing. Really? Why? Well, because the economy has changed. And what's their answer to that, the Democratic Party's answer? Well, the Treasury Secretary told us a month and a half ago, she said, if you're worried about the economy, have an abortion. People who want to have kids increasingly can't. Why is that? Well, because the food supply in the air and water have been poisoned and sperm counts are half what they were a few decades ago. So these are specific problems that have prevented millions of Americans from having families, from reproducing, as Chuck Schumer just said. And you could fix them if you tried, but they're not trying. Instead, the solution is to replace the people who aren't reproducing with millions of new people from other countries.
So here's what went down yesterday on Twitter. Matt Taibbi tweeted this out. He's like, listen, I'm going to add to my Twitter thread here. He tweeted out that James Baker was vetting James Baker, the lawyer at Twitter, the former FBI guy. There was a delay in a lot of these Twitter files being released. And he says, now he can tell you the reason why. James Baker was fired, and among the reasons, he was vetting the Twitter files without knowledge of new management. So now the question's obvious. Was James Baker, former FBI counsel, siloing off information from Elon and the management about the FBI's role in this? Why? Because of what I told you a few days ago. The biggest part of this scandal isn't that social media companies discriminate against conservatives. That's old news. Everybody knows that. It sucks, but it's old news. The biggest part of the scandal is the government via the FBI may have been involved. Now, Elon Musk tweeted this out in reply to Matt Taibbi. In light of concerns about Jim Baker's possible role in suppression of information important to the public dialogue, he was exited, Joe, from Twitter today. That is a fancy way of saying he was canned, thrown out of his caboose, fired, which is probably a little late, but a lot of people said, my gosh, why was he still there?
Man.
How is it that a smart guy like Elon would let a guy so obviously corrupted by this FBI scandal stay there? And there's a part of me thinking that they may have been giving him a shot to set himself up so they had a reason to get rid of him. So if he decides to sue in court, that the disclosures and the discovery stage in court, maybe I don't think I'm overcomplicating it, would look really bad for him. How do I know that Elon already knew who Jim Baker was and what his history with the FBI was? I want you to pay close attention to this date, April 26, 2022. This is Mike Cernovich. Twitter lawyer Jim Baker, general counsel of the FBI, arranged a meeting between the FBI and Sussman. In this meeting, Sussman presented fabricated information in the Alpha Bank matter. Elon Musk, this is who is inside Twitter. He facilitated fraud. Look at Elon's response. Elon responds back on his own Twitter. If you didn't remember, keep in mind the date here. This is April 26th. Elon responds back. Sounds pretty bad. Was he setting him up? Again, was he allowing him to stay, understanding he was Elon, that is. He was going to disclose all this stuff. Figuring he was going to silo the FBI stuff away and try to hide it underneath the rug. Then knowing when they fired him, it would kind of preclude him from suing in court because the discovery would just be horrendous for Jim Baker. I don't know. I'm speculating, but sometimes I'm speculating based on a good amount of data, and I think the probability of something like that is probably pretty accurate. Folks, the FBI's role in this mass censorship on social media is getting even uglier, by the way. Technofog, who's one of my favorite commentators out there, he has a Substack called The Reactionary. You should subscribe. It's worth your time. This came out yesterday. He has an exhaustive analysis. It's in my newsletter today if you want the link to it, too, about Elvis Chan. Elvis Chan is the FBI meetings guy. This is the guy up right before the 2020 election, up until the 2020 election. This is the FBI supervisor in San Francisco who is marshaling this effort in these meetings with big tech to get stuff taken off of the platform. A complete, total violation of the First Amendment. He said some crazy stuff under oath that Techno covered. Here's just one of them. He admits first, Elvis Chan, who according to Post Millennial, by the way, appears to be a Democrat donor, that not only was he the guy meeting with big tech, dude, if this isn't a kick in the gonads, I don't know what is. He was also the supervisor for the infamous DNC hack that nobody can prove. Remember the Russians hacked the DNC? Hacked? No one could seem to prove that, which is kind of weird. Oh, he was the supervisor for that?
Oh,
again, it's not a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy. But there's nothing theoretical. There's this Q&A right there, under oath. I swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. It gets better. He admits under oath that lawmakers in the House, specifically on House committees, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, that they were exerting pressure on social media companies to take down accounts. Here's the... They just admit to it. He's asked this question, starting with the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. What kind of pressure did they put on social media platforms to engage more aggressively in account takedowns? Totally unconstitutional. Here's Elvis Chan's answer, FBI guy, meetings guy. They requested. Yes, you see how he has to change his language? You catch that? They requested the CEOs for the companies that I mentioned to testify in front of their committee. You see how he changes his language right away? Oh, They didn't compel. Joe, they just winked and nodded and said, yeah, maybe you guys, if you don't do that, should come and testify in front of our committee. Be a real shame if your place burned down. What a load. Notice the equivocation, by the way, on the mention of Hunter Biden, too. So Yoel Roth from Twitter gave a sworn statement to the FEC saying that the FBI had mentioned Hunter Biden before the election in light of the hack and leak operations, which would mean that the FBI was involved in suppressing the Hunter Biden story, even though they had the laptop. Notice the equivocation, though, when Elvis Chan's asked about this. He's talking about Yoel Roth, the questioner. How would you interpret what Roth said when he learned that there were rumors that a hack and leak operation would involve Hunter Biden? What do you think he's referring to? Notice the equivocation by Chan, the FBI meetings guy. Yeah, in my estimation, we never discussed Hunter Biden specifically with Twitter. First, it's in his estimation. He doesn't say, no, I didn't mention Hunter Biden. It's in his estimation. And then he says, well, we never discussed Hunter Biden specifically. Oh, just generically? The scandal keeps getting worse, folks. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. Oh, well, let me throw one more in there. That was a clip from the Dan Bongino Show. You can watch the full show. We recommend you do on Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Bongino, please, and subscribe for free. We appreciate it.
All right, so we're back. Amber,
you always have some really great... I was just thinking, he always has some really great segments. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good one to listen to. I kind of trust his stuff.
Oh. All right. So what's next here? All right. Let me see what I have saved here. I don't feel like getting into that one. All right, I think unless we have anything, I'm going to pack it in here.
Are you done for the night?
Unless you have anything.
I don't. I don't.
No, I can barely keep my eyes open without it hurting, so I'm gonna go ahead and take care of that.
Sounds good. Yeah, I hope you can get maybe some rest. Maybe some sleep.
Yeah, for some reason when it gets cold and I'm out at night, sometimes this happens, and I don't know what it is.
Wow, that's interesting. And you've done everything you can, obviously, so something's... That's interesting. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Hey, at least we came on for a couple hours. We talked. We made a go of it, and we'll be back next week.
Sounds good. I will... I'll be here next week, and then the following week I'll be at that concert.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's in Vegas. And who are you seeing again?
Ginger.
Ginger, that's right. Ginger,
yeah.
With a J.
Yes, Ginger with a J. That's right.
Okay.
All right, well, you get some rest and hopefully feel good enough for a full workday tomorrow, and we'll just meet up next Wednesday then.
Okay, any luck talking to Kate Daly or any other guest that we could potentially have?
Not yet, but we are having Kate Daly come to the event in January, so the hope is that she'll be interested in talking about that event very soon. I'm staying in contact with Laura with that one.
And let me ask you, do you have other events during the year, or is January your big thing?
Well, we have the one that's in December, and that there's really not any other people coming to, like, be vendors or other. It's not open to other speaking. But the January one's the big event, and then there's possibly another one coming up in the spring, but we haven't decided on that yet, so we're still in talks with how that would look.
Okay. Because I'm on the fence with coming, because my wife will not be coming with me, and I don't like to travel by myself, and for all we know, if it's snowing, I don't want to push barefoot as legal in the snow.
Yeah, understood. That makes sense.
So, but I do want to meet Carrie Madej, though, so that I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'd love to have you. Hopefully the weather's nice and you can come with or without your wife, however it looks for you.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
Okay. Well, thank you for all the clips tonight. It was good information, and get well, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. I'll go ahead and get this out here. So, everyone, please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here, but until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail, keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative. I am...